This episode of the Justin Robert Young Podcast brought to you by 357 other raddest motherfuckers on the good goddamn planet. Music. I said cut my music. I'm sorry, Jomo. Jomo, I apologize. Welcome everybody to the Justin Robert Young Podcast. This is a podcast in which my motor mouth continues to run unabated no matter what anybody says. I don't give a fuck about the government. I don't give a fuck about Taylor Swift. I don't give a fuck about reincarnated Gandhi, who's fucking all of a sudden all up in my shit because he's Nega Gandhi and he's everything that the original Gandhi wasn't. Fucking go back to where you fucking came from, lab-grown Gandhi, and your goddamn ways. I'm not into you, okay? I'm just not that into you. I'm breaking up with lab-grown Gandhi, okay? This is why I've brought you all here. My name is Justin Robert Young. I do a podcast called The Jury Show, and I've been dating a lab-grown Gandhi. And now I'm breaking up with him. Why? Because he's an asshole. You know who's not an asshole? You! You, watching right now, either on YouTube or listening with your precious, precious ear holes, you are a God's final wish. And that's why I've gathered you all here today on the show. I'm going to talk a little bit about pop culture. I'm going to do a little discussion about Top 40 Radio. I'm going to read a few of your emails. This is going to be a bit of an abbreviated version of the show. I do apologize for that. I might do a little bit of a makeup show, maybe a little bit of something else a little later in the week. However, I got to do a live stream for WWE Battleground, which is happening in only a few minutes. So we're going to do our best to zoom through as much as we can until that happens. See, this is also the worst thing. I just violated a rule that I know, and yet I just did it, where I now have given permission for people to hate the live stream because I am taking something away from them in this world instead of making it a zero-sum game. I'm bad at my job. You're good at life. You know who is bad at life? That is Donald Trump. Donald Trump, he's not good. And I don't mean, I said this before, this is how Donald Trump is going to be good for the Republican Party. And he's done that right down to the fact that he's currently self-destructing. What he's doing wrong, and you should be upset about, you, the listener. I'm not talking about the general you. I'm not using the royal we. I'm saying you should be upset. Why? Because Donald Trump is fucking my life because he is self-destructing too fast. Too fast. Too fast. Right now, we are in the process of building this Kickstarter for a card game called The Contender. In that card game, we're going to have real-world quotes from real-world people that are running for president and have for the past 200 motherfucking years. Our expansion packs are largely going to be made up of quotes that are said during the current debates. There is nobody, N-O-B-O-D-Y, he had to think about how nobody was spelt as he said it, that is better for this case than Donald Trump. He needs to get up on stage and say the shit that he's saying now in the debates, because we're going to be doing live streams during them, and they are going to be rad, and you are going to enjoy them. However, if he fucking implodes before the debates, and by implodes, I mean embarrasses himself to the point where he won't be able to be invited to the Republican debates, and therefore he'll just run as a third party and just be a crazy person and say shit anyway, then I can't fucking profit on him. And if there's one thing that I think Donald Trump would understand and appreciate is the ability for me to profit on his lunacy. He is a man about making money, and I want to do it. So I need him to continue to be crazy through the next 2 weeks as we get ready to launch this Kickstarter. Of course, you can follow us at Contender Game on Facebook, at Contender Game on Twitter, and at Contender Game on the Gram. We're tossing big grams out here for the Contender. More on that as we get closer to it. But Ashley brought a deck out there to Las Vegas. She's at the amazing meeting this weekend and said it went over just like gangbusters. And I'm super excited about that because I wanted to get into everybody's hands and for them to play it. We're going to go through a little bit of a pop culture rant coming up in the next segment, and then we are going to read your mail, not like your personal mail. I'm not going to like go into your mailbox and be like, no, really? You've subscribed to Verizon, have you? Or that you get CDs. Does anybody still get CDs in the mail? Is that still a thing? Or DVDs? Like 8 CDs for only a penny. Is that still a thing? Am I old? Am I the oldest person on the planet? Question. Answer me back. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com on whether or not I'm the oldest man on the planet. By the way, we will be right back. My name is Justin Robert Young. So as part of my job, I got to listen to pop music. Like, I don't need to, but I tend to find myself listening to pop music a lot because we have these. So for the Go Game, we do a Go Game, and then people go, they're out there, they're doing a scavenger hunt, and then they gather back, and we do a little ending presentation. And while people are coming back, you know, I like to play a little music to get everybody into the mood, and so I wind up playing a lot of top 40 songs. So there's a couple top 40 songs that I want to talk about. If you have not heard of them, then I will do my best to kind of explain them. And you know, I don't want to get this video pulled on YouTube, so I don't want to play any of them. Maybe I'll play a little bit. No, I shouldn't. I'm not going to play. All right. So here's two songs. We have a theme in popular music, and it is aggressive monogamy. Aggressive monogamy. And what do I mean by aggressive monogamy? Here's what I mean. There are two songs. Cheerleader by some guy and Honey, I'm Good by some other guy. I'm also going to assume that one's black and one's white. I'm pretty sure I remember one being black and one being white. Cheerleader and Honey, I'm Good. Let me just go ahead and not embarrass myself. And Cheerleader lyrics. Oh, here he goes. Yeah. Omi. O-M-I is his name. Cheerleader. And then Honey, I'm Good by Andy Grammer. Andy Grammer. But it is spelled with an E-R, not grammar like the way that we make words pretty and such, but rather grammar like a hammer, but with a G. So now both these songs are about a man's devotion to his woman, his wife, or his girlfriend. No, I think very specifically in Cheerleader, it's a girlfriend. One is a country song, Honey, I'm Good, wherein oh, nah, honey, I'm good. I could have another, but I probably shouldn't. I got somebody at home, and if I stay, I might not leave alone. This is a very clever wordplay, by the way. I don't think this is a bad song. But it's you know, I could have another, as in another drink, right? Or another lover, if he's, like, you know, creeping in the TLC sense. Or, you know, taking another wife in, like, the Mormon sense. And then, you know, if I stay, I might not leave alone. Huh? Because he's going to get drunk and wind up fucking somebody that he shouldn't. Meanwhile, Cheerleader is, let me see if I can get the Cheerleader lyrics here. lyrics. Here we go. The OMI lyrics. So he's very, he starts off, see, this is unlike Honey, I'm Good. Honey, I'm Good starts out with our protagonist sitting in a bar, fending off Rogue Pussy. Rogue Pussy's out for him. Oh, the world Andy Grammer lives in. Like Days of Future Past, where just pussy sentinels are constantly on the lookout. All of his friends are dead from this rogue pussy, which is aggressively seeking him out. And so he can't, oh, you rogue pussies, I'm trying to be at a bar, enjoying myself. And what do I see? Nothing but rogue vagina just trying to land on my penis. He's like, no, honey, I'm good. I could have another, but I probably shouldn't. I've got somebody at home, and if I stay, I might not leave alone. I'm explaining to you, you fucking harpy. I'm just trying to remain faithful to my woman. And yet you Jezebel, with your siren vagina song. I need to give you this explanation, and thus I wrote this song. And then he starts singing a song. That's not the case with Cheerleader. Cheerleader, our protagonist, starts out just thinking about how great his lady is. When I need motivation, my one solution is my queen. Because, yeah, she stays strong. Yeah, yeah. Always in my corner. Right there when I want her. All them other girls are tempting, but I'm empty when they're gone. Okay. Look at that. Right there. That's a perfect. That's what we like to call in the business a love song. Oh, it makes you feel good inside. It is, just so nice, right? But holy shit. If this guy doesn't have the same motherfucking problem as Andy Grammer. The next line. And they say, do you need me? Do you think I'm pretty? Do I make you feel like cheating? Oh, Jesus. These fucking rogue, aggressive pussy ninjas are out here trying to sully the good name of these gentlemen. Ah, you know, people are always thinking, why can't we have good old-fashioned couples? I'll tell you why. Because of the revved-up, hormone-infused pussy commandos that are out here breaking down the door like this is some sort of fucking raid of Fallujah, trying to find any good man here so they can suction their pussy cup onto the penis of the last fucking good monogamous men in America. That's why. And then he goes back, because again, do you need me? Do you think I'm pretty? Do I make you feel like cheating? I'm like, no, not really. And then he gets into, all this shit about his girlfriend again. It's kind of an amazing universe in which these guys live in. Such aggressive women that they need to explain. They're like, okay, can you sit down? I got to go through this. Although I guess in Cheerleader, he's kind of, you're a friend, right? I could imagine that you're at a bar. Maybe it's the same bar that Andy Grammer's at. In fact, maybe they're talking to each other. You could kind of read this as a conversation. But then Andy gets annoyed with fucking, I mean, like Omi is just like, oh, like fucking my girlfriend's great. My girlfriend's great, and I'm gonna marry her because she's better than all these skeezers that I meet. And then Andy Grammer's like, okay, yeah, whatever. I'm just gonna talk to this girl who wants to fuck me and explain that I can't. No. Although at some point, when does it fall into she doth protest too much with you, Andy? I mean, come on. A whole song about how you're not gonna fuck this girl? Let's be fucking real here. Meanwhile, on the opposite end of the gender spectrum, we have a woman by the name of Rachel Platten. She's got a song called Fight Song. Fight Song. Okay? Now, this is one of my least favorite elements of pop music. I love pop music. I really do. I really enjoy it. And I love pop music that is a distilled singular vision broadcast. That's great. It is a transformer ray. A big idea made a small idea. That's great. And yet it's very easy to get in the ears of everybody, and we all sing it together, and we all have a shared experience. I love shared experience. But what is counterfeit to this idea are songs like Fight Song. Fight Song is a female empowerment song by way of a character that is embattled. She's obviously dealt with a lot of shit. However, we don't know what shit she's dealt with, and this is very obviously just a Rorschach test for every female who has ever fucking dealt with something. Now, I don't blame Rachel. I blame fucking humanity for the fact that we don't have, you know, there's no line for which we're like, oh, yeah, you know, women need to deal with stuff. We don't make a lot of art that fucking does, you know, goes into very specifics about all the different levels of shit that women go through. But, like, so here's the deal. So this is Fight Song. Again, Rorschach test. You could fucking read anything into this. So it's all these metaphors, like a small boat in the ocean sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I only have one match, but I can make an explosion. All right, all of these metaphors for fucking the metaphor of, you know, journey of 1,000 miles just starts with one step. That's fine. Now, here we go. Here's where it becomes, she just starts rattling off all these specific examples, but together there's no cohesive structure. So all those things I didn't say, wrecking balls inside my brain, I will scream them loud tonight. Can you hear my voice? Okay. So maybe she's in a relationship and she didn't feel like she was heard. And now she is going to break out of her cocoon of silence and make a difference. So here's the chorus. This time, this is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm all right song. Okay. Take back my life. That kind of makes sense in a argument where there's been silence. Prove I'm all right. Okay. Well, I mean, that's maybe a little bit different. Maybe that's something where she made a decision, but now she's maybe talking to somebody else. So it's like, maybe she went into an abusive relationship and she's going to prove she's all right to her family, who didn't approve of it. But then, like, is she singing? Is she, like, getting a Skype call together with, like, her family and her abusive boyfriend slash husband? Let's just move on. My power's turned on. Starting right now, I'll be strong. This is my fight song, and I don't really care if nobody else believes, because I still got a lot of fight left in me. So, but now we're talking to an audience. Now it's like, I don't care if you believe me. Well, I mean, to the family, to the boyfriend, and then we get back into metaphors, losing friends, and I'm chasing sleep. Oh, no, these aren't metaphors. This is, okay, so now we've lost friends, and you're not sleeping. So, I mean, is this, did you get into a cult? Is this a song about Scientology? Everyone's worried about me. I'm in too deep. They say I'm in too deep, and it's been 2 years. I miss my home. Okay, so she left somewhere to go. Is this a song about Scientology? I want to know. I want to know whether or not, because now I'm convinced that the only way this makes sense is if she was a Scientologist and she's now leaving. And there's still fire burning in my bones. I still believe. And then it's all just repeating what has been said before. I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. Either I hate Fight Song because it is just the greatest hits of everything that women have gone through, or I love Fight Song because it's the greatest breakup with Scientology song ever written. Thus concludes Justin Robert Young's Pop Culture Top 40 Breakdown. All right, we're going to go, crap. Yeah, we're going to go 2 weeks without doing a full email thing. I have one email that I definitely want to read here, though. It comes from Paul. Paul, hi, Justin. I have a story for you. I recently made a strategic move to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, City of Lights. I've been single for a few months and figured I'd reactivate my old OkCupid account, set up a Tinder, and so on. The Camel City is a downgrade in every way except cost of living, and finding quality girls hasn't been an easy task. After hiding most of the profiles on OkCupid, I came across a cute and interesting girl and shot a quick, hey, what was the last book you read? She told me she was in the middle of Good Omens and asked the same. I said how Star Wars Conquered the Universe and mentioned that I'd heard it recommended on a podcast. She replied that she'd heard it recommended on a podcast as well and asked which one. I told her it was Justin Robert Young and had sung its praises, and I thought I'd heard him talk about it on Chord Killers, to which she enthusiastically told me that she heard you recommend it on Weird Things and thought she was the only one who listened to you guys. We chatted a little bit more, and then after agreeing to get some drinks sometime, she dropped off the map. That happens on OkCupid, and it kind of sucks. For those unfamiliar, girls get a shitload of messages from every chud with a penis, and after turning off notifications for this plethora of garbage, it's easy to lose a conversation. So I was left with a hard call. Do I send a follow-up message after somebody hasn't replied? Because that kind of makes me feel like a weirdo. But she had agreed to drinks and listened to some dude online who I think was pretty cool. So I sent a short message back and then heard nothing for weeks. Chalked it up to another misconnection. But I was surprised when she shot me her number earlier this week. She confirmed what I figured had happened, overwhelming volume of messages, and pushed her away from the site. Anyway, we met up for some drinks last night and had a pretty good time. We went back to her place to watch, he puts in quotes, Ex Machina. I'm not quite sure how it ended. I'm going to add the wink for him. So, Justin, you're directly responsible for this date happening. If not for the Diamond Club connection, I would have asked her to get drinks as quickly, but definitely wouldn't have sent that follow-up message. Also, if you're a guy that sends girls shitty, hey, you are, with the, you know, letters, you are cute, message me back messages to every pretty girl online, fuck you. That makes me so fucking happy. Paul and the lady that either made out with or had sex with Paul, who I love both of you. You guys are great. It makes me so happy that you guys have gotten together. That's fucking awesome. Let me just do a real quick thing. You know, we've talked about this on the podcast before, but just so it is said yet again, creepy dudes are the enemy of the good dude. You are fighting a war, whether or not you know it, and your enemy is shoulder to shoulder with you. Every time you don't point out, hey, it's fucked up and weird, if you just spam chicks and say, hey, you're cute, or do you want a picture, you know, send nudes, please, and you're doing the volume fucking method of asking everybody a creepy question, so you might find one person with a fucking minuscule self-esteem enough to respond to you, that's fucked up, that's wrong, I don't like it, neither should you. And if you find out a friend of yours is doing this, you owe it to them to say, hey, dude, that's fucked up. Please stop doing it. It's fucking weird. And stop. Stop, for God's sakes. If you'd like to email the show, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. That is justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. I've just decided unilaterally I'm going to be doing another episode this week. We'll do it on Wednesday, probably. It'll be a live jury show. Because I'm giving you value. We did the big Brian Brushwood show last time. We're going to do another one because I hate to cut this short, but we have so many more emails that I haven't got to because we have 2 weeks, and I just can't do that to you, folks. I can't do it to you. I got to give you what you need. But until that happens, we do have to wrap this one up because I got to do this live stream. I want to keep to my word of doing these Rassle streams. So for this rock and roll episode of the Justin Robert Young podcast, I would like to let you guys know that you can email the show, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. You can send us a Snapchat, Justin R. Young. You can send us a Twitter, Justin R. Young. Follow the Contender Game on everything, Twitter, on Snapchat. We don't have a Snapchat. We'll figure it out. Contender Game. Kickstarter is probably going to launch in the next 2 weeks. But should you find yourself at the end of your rope, I want to let you know that my name is Justin Robert Young. You are the best person on the planet, and there is one person in the shining, shimmering wasteland of the abyss that I would like to remind you has a voice that sounds in this clarion call. Please don't! Don't!
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.